Welcome to the gospel meeting tonight. We trust that you will be blessed as you hear the grand old story of a Savior's love. The book of Romans, please, in chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, please. If you're able to turn to it, Romans chapter 5, in this passage you will read a wonderful, wonderful story of love. Romans chapter 5, and we'll read, please, at verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth, that means that he showed us. Is that enough for you? God has showed us. He has revealed. He's made known. In other words, he's manifested. Oh, out of his infinite wisdom, God has shown us the wonder of his amazing love. But God commendeth his love. That's his own love. That's a love only he could truly show. He has commended his love toward us. Notice the direction it's going in. Toward us. Remember the first time it hit me. Was for me. He has shown us his own love in that while we were yet sinners, still sinning, Christ died for us much more than being now justified by his blood. I love that expression much more because it's over and over again in this passage. It just means that God is so much more for you than you can possibly take in. And what a wonder it is. Much more than being now justified by his blood. Do you know what it cost him? Do you understand today what God had to go through, what the Savior had to suffer, so that you could be cleared from every charge of sin, brought in right before God by his blood? That sacrifice, that death, by his blood, justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Wrath of God. What a contrast. This wonderful story of love. This amazing love that God has shown you, has directed towards you, intends that you should know the blessing and the benefit of. And stand that up against the wrath of God. I don't know about you. The choice would be pretty clear to me. Oh, there was a long time when I deceived myself. There was a long time when I was fooling myself. There were years that went by when I was somehow trying to avoid it and somehow get around it. But here's his love directed towards you and me. And I want you to think with me for a few moments about this wonderful story of love. I want you to think, first of all, about the source of love, because it tells us here in this passage, it's his own love. That love is unique. You know, even Christians are encouraged to use that kind of love towards others, but I think we already had it confessed earlier that, boy, it's hard. You see, we may try and love others in a self-sacrificing way, but it seems as though there's just so much self in us that we just can't seem to show the reality, the wonder of a love like this. But God can, and God has. And the Bible says that God is love. You know, when I was just a little boy of 5 years old, I remember going to Sunday school for the first time, and my verse was simple. It just was three words, God is love. And I had trouble with it. I don't think it's because I'm not sharp enough. See, I came from a broken home. Hurt. And I couldn't understand how God could be a God of love and let happen what happened. And that in my life would come such an intrusion and such hurt. How could God be a God of love? But you know what? God looked down on that 5-year-old boy and he loved him anyway. And he loves you today. And that love is a wonderful love. That love is a unique love. That love is an unmerited love, because as much as I love kids, and I do, not only my grandkids, but I've watched some of you around at this conference, and you know, you can just feel yourself drawn out with just some kind of appreciation for you, and yeah, I'll call it love. But God couldn't find anything in us because of our sin that would cause him to love us. But he loved us anyway. And he loved us because he found all the reason in his own heart. And all his attributes are evil, and so mighty and wondrous is God's power that he created the worlds with a word. What power and majesty he displayed. But don't forget, he loves you with a love just as powerful as his word, as his might, as his majesty. This love is unmerited. Probably telling stories to people who already know him, but Henry Ford, you know, he's the man that tried to put the car into the common man's hands at an affordable price so that they could all have one, and we've been trying to keep up with that habit ever since. But Henry Ford was not an armchair executive that sat behind a nicely polished desk. He was the kind of a man who got right down in the shop where the grease was, and he got involved in his creation and it became very successful. And one day he was out in his car driven by a driver, and the chauffeur was motoring along, and Henry saw one of his cars at the side of the road. And that man who had taken such an interest in them was interested in them still, even after they were no longer his and they had gone out on the highways. And when he saw that car at the side of the road, he told his chauffeur, "Pull in." And the chauffeur pulled in, and Henry took his suit jacket off, and he walked back, rolled up his sleeves, and he looked at that car with the hoods up and the man staring down inside, wondering what in the world was up. And Henry said, "You need some help?" The man said, "Well, if you know anything about these things." And Henry went to work. And a few minutes later, he had it ticking over just like it was supposed to. He knew what was wrong. And he knew how to fix it. This God that loves you knows what's wrong. Will you trust him? Will you take his word for it? It's that problem of sin, that sin that's so wretched and deserves his judgment. He knows what's wrong in your life, and he knows how to fix it. And he knew there was just one way to fix what's wrong. You know, he knows not only what you've done, but he knows your destiny. He knows where you're going. He knows what's at the end of your road. He knows how much time you have. My little grandson was all ready to run into the school for a Christmas program a few days before Christmas. And it was just a slip and a twist and a car tire. He didn't die, but I want to tell you, it sure sobered up his grandparents. And it sure made his parents awful serious. You see, we can see what could have been, but God knows what is. And he knows what's going to be. And he knows what's wrong. And he knows your destiny. And he knows you. I want you to think not only of the source of love, I want you to think about the subjects of this love. Who he loved. He loved me. I hear when I was a kid and struggling with all this business of my past, I wasn't very likable, much less lovable. And I could probably find your witnesses to tell you that. They know. But he loved me anyway. And you know, as God looks down upon us, he sees us as defiled. The awful effects of sin, making me unfit to stand in his presence as I am. God can't look at sin without dealing with it. And if you were to stand exposed before God, tell me, how would he find you today? Not only does God speak about sin as being defiling and says we are all as an unclean thing, but he speaks about how sin brings that disease of sin finally to an end. And sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. I wouldn't want to see anyone experience what it is to have this kind of death. Beyond the grave. Beyond life. The awful effects of sin, so defiling. That awful disease that God oftentimes uses the picture of a leper to describe us. So undone. So incapable of finding an answer anywhere else. So excluded. Oh, friend, beware lest you find yourself excluded from that happy, holy place above. The subjects of this love. Sinners, in spite of the cross and all the shame that we've described many times, and some have described it so capably and so well that sometimes our eyes are moved to tears. I remember when in my first Sunday school class, there was a boy who came in just one time. And I remember we just happened to be on the subject of the death of the Lord Jesus. And I can remember watching that guy 8 or 9 years old, and the tear rolled down his cheeks. As he heard about the Savior, the Lord Jesus who had suffered and died. And in spite of Sunday school teaching and gospel preaching and the cross, what does he say? He says, there's still sinners, still sinning against God, still pursuing that pathway that they had followed of their own will, and look where they are. Still outside, still in the dark, still diseased. But God loves them. The heart of God moved towards them. In spite of scripture verses learned, some of you learn verses from the Word of God. I couldn't tell you how precious that is. You see, when I was 15 and a half, if you had asked me if I knew John 5 and 24, I probably would have said, don't have any idea. But you know, that night that I was saved, December the 7th, 1961, it's a long time ago. The preacher said, open verse after verse, and it seemed a bit dark to me, though I could somehow see that there was the answer. I thought, that's too easy. One of the preachers said, do you want God to make it hard? No, I didn't want God to make it hard. I wanted God's salvation. Do you want it? Would you like to be able to say, he's my Savior? And that verse came into my mind. Somehow God resurrected the truth of that verse in my mind. He that hears my word. And I thought, I am hearing his word. And believes God that sent me. And I knew God had sent his son. He He that hears my word and believes God that sent me has everlasting life. And quicker than I can tell you, I took in the truth of it. It was for me. Sinners in their darkness. There's a message. It's a glorious message. It's the most wonderful message that ever was. And it's for you. And sometimes we struggle with it, don't we? We almost want to make it harder than it is. You probably heard about the boy that maybe it was Valentine's Day, and he wanted to show his mom how much he loved her. And he said, "Mom, I'd like to wash the windows for you." That was a boy, I tell you. He was pretty special. And he went and he got the bucket and he got the water and he got the thing to clean it with. And he went out there and he scrubbed away at the kitchen when he thought that would be the best one to start with. And he scrubbed away and then he dried it all down. And oh, it was heartbreaking. The dirt was still there. He went at it again and he cleaned with more vigilance than ever. And he worked at it. And when he squeegeed it all off, he looked at it. It was so frustrating. And he did it again. And he worked away at it once more, stepped back to look at the result. And he was near tears as the marks were still there. And his mom saw his frustration and she looked out the window and she said, "Son, the dirt's on the inside." That's our problem. Maybe you don't feel it. Maybe you don't recognize it. Maybe you don't even want to admit it. But the dirt is on the inside. And it has defiled what might have been for God. And only the blood of Christ could ever make it right. I want you to think not only of the subjects of such love, but I want you to think of the sacrifice of love. Because we've read about it here. We read about the blood, that sacrifice that was made. We've read how Christ died. You see it? He died for us. That death meant so much to God. But that death means so much to me. It was for me. It was for us. Look how clear it is. This is what he has done on our behalf. And I know that in our world, great sacrifices have made. I could refer to some even in this area where mothers have made tremendous sacrifices for their children because they love them so. And they constantly manifest. They constantly show that love. And sometimes even when it's near impossible, they go on. I was thinking of Bill and Mary Turner. They lived in Ohio. And everybody knew that Bill and Mary loved and appreciated each other and spent time together. And often in the evenings, when it seemed like some of the heat and humidity gone out of the day, they'd go for a walk together holding hands. And everybody knew. Everybody saw it. And then there came that night when they were coming to a railway crossing and they'd hear the train in the distance and they decided they would run and get past that so that they could walk in the quiet. And no one really knows how it happened, but somehow Mary's foot got stuck. And Bill turned around at her cry. And he went to her as that train was bearing down on them. And he tried to free her and he couldn't do it. And she said, "Run, Bill." And he threw his arms around her and hung on as that train came down upon them. Did Bill love Mary? Oh, yeah. But you know, Bill's death didn't do Mary any good. Didn't save her. They both died. But when I look at the cross and see the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, there's something I understand. And I understand it from his own lips as he says, forgive them. And he knew there was only one way that God could ever forgive us. And that was for him to bear the judgment, for him to bear the penalty, for him to endure the loss, for him to die and shed his precious blood on my behalf. And for you. What a sacrifice. What love. Weren't we just singing about it? That love of the Lord Jesus. That one who hung on the tree, bore the sentence for me. And thank God, he did it all to save my soul. He made the sacrifice so that I could know the blessing. I want you to think, too, in this passage of the security of love. Because we read there in verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood. And I'm so thankful for those much mores and those even yets. And beyond all this, God's salvation is far more than just an escape from hell. God has such great riches that he provides the forgiveness of sins. To know they're all gone. One of the best for me that I enjoy so much is peace with God. That sure knowledge, it's well with my soul. Is it well with your soul? The security of love. To be able to say, thank God, the torment and the fire, mine eyes shall never see. It's enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. I can remember going fishing with my dad, which I did frequently. And one time in later teens, I remember going out with him. And we fished on our way several miles up into Bosley Island area. And we didn't catch anything, but we were having fun. And it came time to turn around. And we turned around and headed towards home. Oh my. The sky was black. The storm was rising. And it hit us with tremendous power. And drove us way out of our way. I don't even exactly know where we landed. There's an awful lot of people that are kind of drifting along, enjoying life's goodness and the kindness, the sunshine of heavenly love, and they don't realize the storm's coming. There's wrath. Be saved tonight. Saved. I hope, my friend, if you're not saved this evening, you will make it first business in your life to go after God's salvation. I want to tell you tonight that while you may put all your efforts and energy into it, you still have to come to this, that it's what Jesus did. It's what the Savior accomplished. It's what the one who went to that cross accomplished. That can give you that security, that sure knowledge. I want you to notice one more thing in my verse. That's the search of love. Did you see it? It says that God has shown his love toward us. While we were yet sinners taking our way away from God, God showed us. And God pursued us. And God planned for us. And God gave for us. And God today is still pursuing the sinner, longing that you would come to know the thrill of throwing up your arms in surrender and accepting the work of the Lord Jesus. The search of love. He's searching your heart today. You know what he's looking for? Someone honest enough to admit, I'm a guilty, hell-deserving sinner, and there I'm going. And I understand that only Christ can save me. And that he's been pursuing me, ready to unfold the wonder of the truth that I've been hearing. That it was for me. That it was in my stead. That it was my burden he bore. He's searching tonight. What has he found? As he searches your heart, has he found someone who's willing to just trust him? Wonderful story. Source of this love, the God who loves you. Oh, the subjects of this love, sinners unprepared to meet God, sinners guilty and helpless and defiled. The sacrifice of this love. It took Jesus to die. It took the Lord Jesus' work on the cross. It was his blood, his sacrifice alone that saves. And now as he pursues you, will you not turn yourself around? Will you not seek him out? Will you not come to the Savior of sinners today? May God bless his word. Father, we're thankful for a love so wondrous, so divine. It demands the heart. It demands the service. It demands the surrender of every one of us who knows it. And we trust, Lord, that there'll be those even today who hear it again, that they would take in his truth and trust in his love and at last close in with the offer God makes to them, this rich offer of salvation. We ask thy blessing, committing ourselves to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.